The book of Ephesians. If you did not bring a Bible, it's all right. There's one in the pew rack right there in front of you. Grab one of those red hardbound books. We are about, I would say more than 80% way through the Bible in, if you get to the book of Ephesians. We are in our series on victory in Christ. Victory in Christ. We want you to understand that God has provided us everything necessary for us to have victory over the power of sin controlling our life. On the day you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He freed you, He gave you victory over the penalty of sin. Penalty. The fact that the Bible says, now there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because when you trusted Christ as your Savior, God canceled the penalty of sin. And there's a day when Jesus is going to come back. Man, that's going to be a good day. It's going to come in the clouds and He's going to take us out of here. And we are going to be free from the presence of sin. You know what I'm talking about. The presence of sin in our life. The constant reminder of it. The constant pull of it. But today, while living on this planet, you and I wrestle with what I call the controlling power of sin. The power of sin wants to control our life. And that is what we want victory from. Jesus offers us victory. I have talked to you now, we're 4 weeks in. I put on Facebook a kind of a reminder, hey, how you doing? Our Sunday night messages are a complimentary message on taking and making it practical. But I talked about how we have victory in Christ because what was legally lost in Adam abdicated it to Satan, has been righteously regained in Jesus Christ. He said, I am He that liveth and was dead and alive forevermore and have the keys of death and hell. He has taken back that which Adam gave away. And now, because we're part of His flesh and His bones and His body, we have access to the same victory. We talked last week about victory over the world and how that the world fights against us in the areas of our failures, our struggles, our circumstances. And I'm not talking about the creation, rocks and trees and things. I'm talking about the world system, the mindset of the world, and how it fights us. And today I want to talk to you about our other enemy, the flesh. Take your Bible, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. We're going to read verse 2 and 3 together as a family. If you found Ephesians 2 and verse 2, say amen. All right, let's read it out loud together, please. Here we go. Wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, I talked to you about verse 2 is about the world. We are fighting against the world system. And then the prince of the power of the air. You see that in verse 2? Prince of the power of the air. That's Satan himself. We're talking about he is our enemy. Satan is our enemy. He's the most powerful being God ever created. He's the most beautiful being God ever created. He's the most intelligent being God ever created. And if you don't believe so, go to Ezekiel 28. You're going to find out that he is something. You say, well, what about Jesus? Well, he's the creator, so he's obviously more powerful. But the thing is you are fighting against an adversary who does not sleep, who does not take breaks, who comes after you. For only desire is to afflict you, is to get back at God. That's the way he does it. But today I want to talk to you about our other enemy. It's found in verse 3. Among whom all also we all, that means everybody, had our conversation in times past, before knowing Christ as our Savior, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, what's cool about Ephesians 2 is when you get to verse 4, it says, but God. But God intervened. But God came down and gave Himself for us. And He took our sins upon us. But now that we're saved, you understand that we still fight the flesh. we still fight this enemy because it's right there present with us. Now, like last week, we talked about how are we going to have victory? Well, to get the steps to victory are, you got to identify who it is you're fighting. Just like you guys and gals in the military, you have to identify the enemy. Number two, you have to analyze their tactics and know how it is they're attacking us. Number three, you've got to figure out what is it that you have in the way of provisions and weapons to make this battle happen and to win it. And number four, you need to translate that victory into your own daily life experience. And today I want to talk to you about victory over the flesh. Now let's identify our enemy for just a second. When I say we are fighting against the enemy and that the enemy opposes us, I'm not talking about the flesh and blood you live in. I'm not talking about the bones and the sinew and the muscles and things of that, although they fight us, don't they? Come on now, right? There are certain things you used to be able to do easily without pain. And now your body's reminding you of the mileage, right? It's not the make, it's the mileage. That's what I tell people. It's not the make, it's the mileage. All right, there's certain things you used to could eat. Boy, last night, Wednesday night, Mrs. Mix made jalapeno poppers. You ever have jalapeno poppers? One of those jalapeno poppers, I think, was a habanero in a former life. Man, it took me out. It was like on Indiana Jones where that guy's face melted off. That's what it was like, okay? It was like, And you know, all you can do is either keep eating them or feel the pain. So, yeah, there are certain things. How about you? How many of you now have to cut off the caffeine at about 6 o'clock? Man, I used to be able to drink Mountain Dew all day. I will tell you, though, ladies and gentlemen, coffee is a better delivery device to the blood system than Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew is more of a sustained over time. So if you're going to go somewhere and you need caffeine, drink a big thing of coffee and then sip some Mountain Dew. That'll work just fine. Then a 5-hour every now and again. But after about 6 o'clock, I got to stop, man, or I'll be up all night. And she'll be like, why don't you lay still? I'm trying to sleep. I can't sleep. What happened? I had coffee. You know, your body fights you. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your flesh, what the Bible refers to as your flesh. It is that old Adamic sin nature. Now, that word Adamic is something you probably didn't use this week. The fact that we are from our father, Adam, we are the descendants of the original human beings. We have a sin nature because they sin. Kind of like an autoimmune system disease, when the body's own immune system attacks itself. You see this when Crohn's disease, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, multiple sclerosis. Those are like the physical things, but I'm talking about how our old sin nature fights against us. See, when you got saved, you received a new nature, but the old one is still there. Look at 2 Peter. Now, keep your ribbon there in Ephesians. We're going to jump to the back of the book just before the book of the Revelation. It's just after the book of Hebrews and James. You'll find 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4. The Bible reads here in 2 Peter 1 in verse 4. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4. It says, whereby are we given exceeding, and that is not the one I'm thinking of. Praise the Lord. I'm in the wrong book. Okay. 2 Peter. Maybe it's 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. Nope. It says, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God indwelt you. Do you know that? Did you know that? When a person receives Jesus Christ, okay, let me explain how that works. When you realize you're a sinner and you realize you can't get to heaven on your own good works and you give up bargaining with God, you give up trying to promise God new things, all you do is realize you're a sinner in need of a Savior and you turn from your sin to God and you call upon Him and ask Him to save you and the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside you. You have a new nature now. But that new nature fights against the old nature because the old nature is still there. And in Romans 7 and verse 18, the Bible says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. The old sin nature fights against us. Now you think to yourself, no, I don't have a sin nature. I don't have that. That's just my mother-in-law or those really bad people. They're the only ones who have like a sin nature. No, even your little babies. You ever wonder why babies cry when they're clean and dry and burped and fed? Why they still cry sometimes? Because they're little sinners just like the rest of us. That's right. They're little sinners. And that's because they have a sin nature. And we do too. So we have the old man and the new man, the Bible talks about. We have the flesh and we have the Holy Spirit of God. We have the sinful nature. We have the divine nature. Now, that's who we're talking about. Now, we need to analyze how this flesh attacks us. The flesh produces conflict, inner turmoil. It cooperates with the world and the devil, and it creates a pull on our life. Look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Now, Paul wrote the book of Romans. And I would consider Paul probably the greatest Christian to ever walk in shoes. Romans 7, it's incredible. Why do you say that? Because he understood what the battle. And I mean, this is him writing. This guy wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. You'd think if anybody had their stuff together spiritually, it'd be this guy. But look at verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, that which is good I find not. Look at verse 21. When I would do good, evil is present with me. Now, inside our flesh dwells three inherent areas of weakness that can be exploited by the world and the devil. You have the flesh, or the lust of the flesh. Now, that's a discontentment with things we have, a discontentment of where our life is. And then we have the lust of the eyes. That's the desiring of something we don't have. You know what I'm talking about. When somebody gets a new car, they pull up next to you and it's shiny. See, the world does that. The world throws out the, ooh, look, shiny. Don't look at God. Don't do that. Look here, shiny, shiny. And it appeals to this lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And our flesh fights us. The last area is the pride of life. The pride of life is determining that you deserve it. Now, the thing that's going on is the two are fighting each other for control. The selfishness of our flesh is fighting for control of our life against the Holy Spirit of God. Take your Bible, turn to Galatians. Now, you're in Romans, so go toward the back just a few pages. Galatians chapter number 5, look what it says. Galatians chapter 5. Now, remember, we're talking about getting victory over the controlling power of sin in our life. That's what we're doing. We don't want sin to control our life anymore. Romans chapter number 7, Galatians 5. I'm in the wrong book again. Galatians 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusteth. Now stop right there. How many of you use that word this week in a sentence? You did? Good. Did you look it up? I had to look it up. The word lusteth means desire. That strong pull. That desire. That feeling you get when you walk by the front door of a Krispy Kreme and the white stuff's just flowing out and you're just like, huh? Yeah. You ever do that? It's kind of, you know, I just feel kind of like my dog some days. I'll walk by a donut shop and all of a sudden it's like, you do that, right? And your body just kind of pulls at you. You can feel your arteries clog, but you don't care. That's the flesh. Now look at it now. It says the flesh desires for control, lusteth against the spirit. Now anytime you see a large S, spirit, that's talking about the Holy Spirit of God. That's what that's talking about. Okay, so the flesh desires to have control, lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that she cannot do the things that she would. Now, we're going to talk about the devil next week, and one of the key things the devil does is he tries to get you to live and act and work in the power of your own flesh rather than in being empowered by the Spirit of God. Keep that for a spoiler for next week, all right? Now, look at it again. It says, so that you can't do the things you would. It's a constant battle between self and the Spirit of God. Whatever it is you're struggling with, whatever you of sin that keeps coming back in your life, you think you've got it beat down? You ever play that game at Chuck E. Cheese where it's like called whack-a-mole? You ever play whack-a-mole? You know what I mean? You bop this one and another one pops up. And you think to yourself, I got this sin under control. And then another one pops up and you hit it down. And another one pops up and another one and pops up and another one and it pops up. And you feel like you're playing whack-a-mole all the time, every single day. And that's because the flesh is always with us, and it rages. The battle rages for control. It actually says in 1 Peter 2:11 that the fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now, it uses selfishness against us because we all want things. There's all things we want in life, right? There's nothing wrong with having desires, right? My kids will do that. Daddy will go, my youngest will go, I want an iPhone. I want an iPhone. I want an iPhone. It's good to want things, son. It's good to want things. I used to work at a sales agency. When he would see you come in with a new car, he'd get excited. The boss would. And that's because he knew I had to make the pay to pay for the car. So he'd get excited because that he it's good to want things. But the problem with wanting things is the flesh uses that selfishness to try to control us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 23, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Well, I don't really understand. Well, here's how selfishness works. Selfishness works this way. We say, we believe that God, we do not believe that God can fill in the blank. So I have to. I don't believe God can help me find love, so I have to. I don't believe God can help me in the area of my finances, so I have to do it. I don't believe God can, and we don't take him at his word. Because our sinful desire to just have control. You think to yourself, well, I don't have that problem. Have you ever caught yourself, or maybe I should ask your spouse, have you ever caught your spouse saying, look, I know what the Bible says, but... Now see, here's the thing. I know what you're thinking. You and I have gotten so spiritual in our walk outwardly for everybody to see. We no longer formulate our sentences that puts us in that position. Right? We no longer say foolish things that go, look, I know what the Bible says, and it kind of trails off because now you know somebody's going to go, but you don't do that. You say, I know what the Bible says. You say it that way. Why? Because when you have to put a but in front of it or at the end of it, that means you're going to do whatever the opposite is. Why? Because you're having the same fight of the flesh that I am. It fights against us, and the battle rages in our mind. Now, the flesh fights us with selfishness, and it causes fear, anxiety, worry, discouragement, stress. These are the things that come up in our flesh because of a lack of confidence in what God said. You know, that's really the definition of faith, as you're going to find out tonight, is my level of confidence in what God said. That's really what faith is. My level of confidence in the truthfulness and viability of what God said. Do you believe God? I mean, do you really believe what he said to be true and that he'll follow through? Because that's your level of confidence. It's called faith. Your faith's either weak or your faith is strong, and it's all based on your confidence in his fulfilling what he said he would do. So why do you worry? Because I want to choose what happens to me. Well, why do you want to choose what happens to you? Because I don't trust God to make choices for me. Well, why don't you make trust God to make choices for you? Because I may not like what he chooses. And I want control of my life. Why do you want control of your life? Because I don't believe his word's true. I don't have any faith. So I worry. So I fear. So I have anxiety. Now, there's chemical issues that happen for folks that in some of these areas, but the truth is, the majority of us don't, that's not our problem. The majority of us, the problem is we don't have confidence in what God actually said. So, that's our enemy, the old sinful nature. This is how the enemy attacks us. He attacks us through selfishness, stirring up the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now I need to figure out what is it God gave me to wage this war and win. Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, the Bible says we have Jesus. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you have him as your advocate. It says, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Take your Bible, go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Do you realize that these are the same things? Listen, this is the same thing that Adam had in the garden. when he encountered Satan. When he was tempted to follow the lusts of his flesh and the pride of his life and the lust of his eyes. He came against the same temptations you and I do in our flesh, but he had the same access to the same weapons you do. He had the Spirit of God. He had the physical presence of Jesus that would walk in the garden with him. Look at Romans 8. You have the Holy Spirit. Look at Romans 8 and verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You have access to the same weapons Jesus had in Luke 4 when he faced Satan. You have access to the same weapons that Adam had when he faced Satan in the garden. He had God's Word. He had God's Spirit. You have Jesus. And we have our faith. We have God's Word. Did you know the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God has a way of getting down to the very core of it. And then we have our faith. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. All right. So we know who we're fighting. We're fighting our sinful nature. Number two, we understand how they attack us. And that's through selfishness, to excite the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. We have the Word to fight with. We have the Spirit that empowers us. We have Jesus Christ, and we have our faith. All right, so let's bring it down and let's bring victory into our daily life. Let's translate it all into it. Take your Bible, turn to the book of John, chapter 8. Jesus gave us the spiritual algebra, the equation for victory. John 8 and verse 31. Do you find yourself having the same problems over and over again? Do you find yourselves having the same discussion about how you've offended your spouse over and over again? It seems like every 3-4 months it keeps coming back up again. You find yourself in front of your boss with the same problem every 3-4 months. They're having this conversation with you. Why? Because it just keeps coming back. You need victory. Victory is the freedom from the controlling power of sin in your daily life. So look at John 8 and verse 31 and 32. Jesus gave us step-by-step instructions. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So let's break that down again. To them that believed on him, do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? In 1 John 5:5, it says, who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You're on the winning side. Do you understand? When did you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? How? Where? You were there. I wasn't. Where? You say you're a Christian. Well, when did you get saved? When did it happen? When did you realize you were a sinner? When did you realize that you gave up on bargaining with God and trying to buy your way into heaven and trying to work your way into heaven, and you just gave up on it and turned to Him and said, I accept you and you only. Please forgive me and save. When did you do that? I wasn't there. Where did it happen? You were there. You said it happened to you. Where did it happen? Look, it's not by the works of righteousness that we have done, Titus 3:5 says. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, it's not by works, or verse 9, excuse me, Ephesians 2:9, it's not by works. Romans 4:5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. What is it your faith is in? What are you trusting in? And when did that happen? That's why Jesus uses childbirth as his physical example of what salvation's like. That baby doesn't do anything to be saved, to be born, excuse me. The mother does all the work. You don't do anything to get saved. God does all the work. When did that happen? The key, the first step in victory, the first step to being free from the controlling power of sin in your life is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Number two is he said to the Jews that believed on him, if you continue in his word. It's a simple choice to take God at his word and believe him. That's what you're being asked to do, and act on it. Whatever area you're battling, whatever area where your flesh is winning, do you understand the Bible talks about it? The Bible tells you how to have victory. You've got verses in the Bible you can memorize. And you can meditate on them and chew them and talk to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will tell you, this is a command I want you to follow. This is a promise I want you to claim. This is a sin I want you to avoid. This is something you should add to your life. This is something you should... It's all there. But I can't make you. When I was first dating my wife, she had a little brother named Adam. She still has a little brother named Adam. He's an older guy now. He's a full-grown adult with kids. But when he was little, Adam didn't like to eat. A skinny little stripling of a kid. And he hated to eat. He didn't want to eat. And her daddy just, in frustration, one day said, you either eat it or wear it. And he said, I'll wear it. He went like this. You know, and you think, well, that's just terrible. You ever try to force a kid to eat? It's like trying to force somebody who's in a mess to read their Bible. You know, and you think to yourself, no, that's, you know, it's not that simple. This week I dealt with a case of adultery in a Christian home. They're not here today. Now, they quit coming a year ago. And I begged them. I begged them. And I don't beg, but I begged them. If you don't read your Bible, if you don't get in church, your spouse is going to get sick of you. They're going to leave you. I don't know. It's just the preacher. See, there's three universal laws that are inescapable. No matter where you go in the galaxy, if we put people on the moon like the guy from Tesla wants us to, or the Mars like the guy from Tesla wants to do, there's three inescapable laws. Number one, you reap what you sow. Number two, you cannot violate Scripture and win. And number three, don't listen to the preacher. He's an idiot. The First Baptist Church of Mars, I'm telling you, is going to be no different than the First Baptist Church of Kingstown. If you don't read your Bible and walk in His Word, your flesh will run your life. And the devil and the world will play Mary Hobb with you like a puppet. And there ain't a thing you can do about it because you're telling the Spirit, I don't need you. And God, I'm smarter than you are. And God goes, okay. I'm still here if you need me. It's like you stepped out from underneath his umbrella. If he bothered to write it down, if he bothered to preserve it perfectly in your language, if he bothered to have people give their life to keep it safe, maybe we ought to read it. You want victory? You need to be saved. You want victory? The next step is you've got to continue in His Word. Step three, you have got to be His disciple. Look at John 8, verse 32, or verse 31. If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. Do the will of God and embody His character. How are you going to know that? You've got to read His Word. God has to be your authority. In Galatians 5, the Bible says, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." But you and I are going to have to choose who we yield to. We either are going to yield to our selfishness and our flesh, or we're going to yield to the Spirit of God who indwells our spirit. You are going to choose, and it requires us choosing. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, "And if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." I can't change my life, preacher. I've tried. I can't change my life. You're in luck. God wrote a whole chapter of the Bible on just change. Take your Bible. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. This is the change chapter. This is the one. This is the chapter on to answer the question, why can't I change my life? How do I change my life? How do I get free? Ephesians 4. You ask. Here you go. Ephesians 4. Look what it says. Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians 4. And verse number 22, we're going to start and kind of break it down. It says that she put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. No, it's not talking about your husband. All right. You cannot trade that 50 in for 225s. That's not how that works. Okay. Look at it now. That she put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We talked about that last Sunday night and last Wednesday night. And that ye put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We have a putting off of the works of the flesh and a putting on of Christ. In other words, we have a resistance to the works of the flesh because those are easy. They just come natural. And a submission to the Spirit of God's leading in our life. Now, he understood that folks may not understand what he was talking about. So he gave us some real world examples here. Now, people say to me this, they always say this platitude. They always say, well, God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, the Bible actually says there's no temptation taking you except that it, which is common to man. That means everybody goes through the same temptations you do. And he will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able. We like that. But with the temptation, he giveth you a way. God is faithful, and with the temptation, he giveth you a way of escape. The question is, are you going to take God's way of escape, or are you going to stand there and take the temptation? Because you're going to lose. That's why he gave you the way of escape. So he's giving it to you here in a real-world example. He says in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's daily reading His Word, memorizing the verses that pop out at you, meditate on them, chew them up, and think them through and muse on them. And that you put on the new man, that's replace your sinful appetites of the flesh with appetites that honor God. So let's look at verse 25. Here we got a putting off and a putting on. Look at verse 25. It says, wherefore, put away lying. Okay, that's easy. Let's everybody stop telling non-truths. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Okay, we put off lying, we put on speaking truth. Verse 26, be angry and sin not. Okay, we put off being angry and putting it off, and we put on, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Meaning, you need to reconcile with the person you're having a problem with. Put off your anger and put on reconciliation. Neither give place to the devil, verse 27 says. Do you realize that when you give in to anger, it's not an adult emotion. It's a childish emotion. Well, it says be angry and sin not. Okay, how many of you have done that lately? Righteous indignation over injustice, you know, that gets pretty close. That gets pretty close. But we still have a desire to kill the person on the other side of the line. Right? We hate injustice, and we want to kill those who represent injustice. So your anger went to sin. Oh yeah, God knows what you think. He knows every thought. He knows every imagination and that virtual reality that goes on between your ears when you escape from your life. And nobody else knows but you, but unfortunately, God also knows. So as you think about what it would be like to be married to that other person, God knows. And when you think about what it would be like to shoot the guy in front of you who's driving too slow on 95, God knows, right? And what you think about the person who emptied the last pitcher of coffee and did not refill it at the office, you know what I'm saying? God knows what you're thinking about up there. That's sin. You're to put off anger, and you're to let and to be reconciled. But it says, and neither give place to the devil. Why? Because what you've just done is given the devil a beachhead in your mind, and now he attacks you. We're going to talk about him next week. Satan is a devious adversary. Then look what it says here. It says in verse 28, let him that steal, steal no more. So put off stealing, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which are good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Look, God gives you a career not just to take care of yourself, but to take care of those who need. So we're to put off stealing. We're to put off clocking in late and clocking out early, because nobody cares. We're to put off spending extra time at lunch when we're not supposed to, because that's stealing. Golly, it got quiet in here today. That's stealing. Did you know your boss pays you to think? And when you go to work and don't think, you just stole. When you go to work and play Minecraft, some of you remember what that is. Huh? You just stole. See, it's not just drugs and alcohol and porn. All those are terrible things, but they can be overcome. And the funny thing is, people who suffer from drugs and alcohol and porn are ashamed. The rest of us go to work and shortchange the boss and don't even sweat it. See, you're being battled by your sin nature. You've already risen to a rank in society where you've already put off a lot of things that most people fight with. And you've learned outwardly how to put on Christianity. But the problem is, it never got past the skin barrier, the cell barrier. It's got to get all the way down into your heart if you want victory. If you want it to really free you, you have to put off the works of the old man and put on the works of the new. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice is the desire to hurt somebody. And be ye kind, put on, kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, the works of the flesh come easy. It's easy. If we don't do anything, if we just keep doing things the way we've always do them, Galatians 5, and the works of the flesh are natural, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, is the dirty little the fantasies we have in our minds, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, the fact that you just can't seem to get along with people, emulations, that means you act like you're one thing, but you're really not, wrath, strife, seditions, that means you're plotting for somebody else's demise so you can take their place. Heresies, envyings, murders. Does your friend's promotion bother you? That's sin. That's envying. Murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Now, when you want victory, you're going to have to get specific. You are going to have to talk to God and be honest. You're going to have to get real with God. The areas of your life where your flesh is leading you into sin and fighting against the control of the Holy Spirit, you need to talk to God about. If you got an anger problem, then you need to talk to God about it and say, God, I've got, it's anger, God. It's hostility. It's resentment. You got to get specific with God. Don't just go, and God, I want you to take away all my sins and I want you to, you know why we like to pray that way? We like to pray that way because it doesn't affect our pride. I don't have to actually lower my pride and admit it's me. It's me, Lord. It's me. That right there, that's mine. You know, it's funny. You know, our kids will do that sometimes. You'll be at some school event and your kids will do something embarrassing. You know what I'm saying? They're like, hey, whose kid is this? And you got to go, You know, Satan goes before God every so often, the book of Job chapter 1 and 2 tells us. Oh, yeah, by the way, Satan is not in hell. Satan is walking the earth. Job chapter 1 and 2, check it out. And he goes before God and he goes, hey, whose kid is this? Yeah, that's yours. Look at that. You have to humble your pride and go, God, it's me. I'm stubborn. God, it's me. I'm committing adultery with my thoughts. You got to get specific with God. You want freedom, or you just want the same vanilla lifestyle you've been living? You want freedom? You got to go to God and say, God, this isn't a weakness. This is a sin. God, this isn't an area of struggle. Struggle sounds good. I'm an overcomer from struggles. I love Mandisa's song, but it's not about real overcoming. It's about overcoming our little problems in life. You need to raise your hand and go, God, it's me. I'm sinning with my mind. God, it's me. I'm resentful. God, it's me. I have malice in my heart. God, it's me. I have wrath. God, it's me. I'm having a struggle, a sin with forgiveness. I'm not forgiving. I know it's a sin. I'm not forgiving. I'm not being loving. I'm not being gentle. Because see, when you do that, when you go to God and you meditate on His Word that talks about those individual things, God is going to empower you to freedom. Because you're going to choose to submit to the Spirit's leading. And the natural outgrowth of that is what we call the fruits of the Spirit. A fruit is something that naturally outgrows from what's inside. You do not get peaches on an apple tree. Why? Because in its heart, it's an apple tree, not a peach tree. So the fruit that comes out of the heart of an apple tree is an apple. So the natural fruit of a person who's submitted to the Holy Spirit of God is Galatians 5:22. The Spirit, fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. These are the things. But you got to get specific with God. Jesus said, believe on me. Believe on me. Be my child. Trust Him as your Savior. Number two, continue in His Word. Daily consume it and meditate on it. Number three, be my disciple. That's what he's saying. Be his disciple. Embody Christ's character. Follow his commands. And then you'll know the truth, John 8:32 says. And the truth shall make you free. See, that old sin nature, that we think it's just our mother-in-law and the bad people out there. No, we all have it. When we got saved, we didn't get rid of it. And we won't till we get to heaven. That's why this body does not get to go to heaven. That's why if you're alive when the rapture happens, your body will be changed, for it is not suited for heaven. And that is why the bodies that are in the grave will rise and be changed, because they are not suited for heaven either. Do you understand that this flesh that fights against you is either going to control you, or you're going to submit to the Spirit, and the Spirit's going to control you. You can't serve two masters, the Bible says. You're either going to love the one and hate the other. You're going to serve one and hate the other. You can't serve them both. Don't you want to be free? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. This is what we call the invitation time. Jesus has purchased with His blood our part. Our ability to have victory. He purchased with His own blood the payment for our sin. And now, if you'll just come forward, if you'll take a moment and pray at this altar and start the process, come to God and say, God, it's me, oh God, it's me, oh God. It's me and my sin. God will answer. God, if you're here and you're not sure heaven's your home, You remember back to being baptized. You remember back to taking communion. It's not about the works we do. It's about trusting Jesus as our Savior. Won't you give your heart to Jesus today? It all starts by believing on Him. Our Father and our God, as folks are already coming, I pray, Father, that You would speak to every heart and every soul. And Father, today, whatever the need is, whatever the wherever the area of life where flesh is just beating us down and winning, oh God, speak and stir within us a desire to serve you, to submit to you, to surrender to the Spirit of God. And let the Word of God be our guide and our daily meditation. Father, speak as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need someone to pray with you, there are folks here at the front ready to pray with you. If you have a need in health or healing, finances or relationships, decisions, there are people here that will pray with you. If you would like to know for sure that when you die, you're going to wake up in heaven because of Jesus, we can show you in the Bible. And you can make your own decision. Won't you come? There's folks here ready to pray with you. If you'd like your to pray with someone, we're here.
Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Yes, where you are, Lord, I am.
Where the Spirit of the living God is, there is freedom. If you're saved, then you have the opportunity to be free.
It's Christ in me.
The choice is ours, brothers and sisters.
Lord, I need you.
Will you just tell the Lord you need him?
I need
Let's just start right there. I need you. I need you. God's not looking for better methods. He's looking for better men. It's not some program you need. He's looking for better people. You can be submitted to the Spirit. You can be free. But it's through His Word and the power of His Spirit. Won't you start today?
Teach my soul to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand or fall on you, Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you.
How about you? There's still time for you. As she sings, there's still time. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we tarry for this one. There's freedom. There's freedom available. The danger is you're going to walk out of here today and you think, I got through that. I didn't have to make a decision. I made it. I'm free to be me the way I want to be. That's the deception of the flesh.
Lord, I am free.
You're actually free apart from Christ.
Is Christ in me? Is where you are, Lord.
Let's sing that chorus with her.
Is Christ in me?
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Our Father and our God, we love you, and we are so thankful because of Jesus. We're thankful, Father, that our lives are yours. We are bought with a price. Father, that we are a people that are there for you to be glorified through. And Father, we want that. We want that so much. We want you to perfect your will in us, to free us, oh God, from the control of sin. And God, that you would glorify yourself, and that this world would see that everything that you do in us would be to your praise, honor, and glory for all eternity. And we ask that you would do it. As we, your humble people, we just submit to you and say, do it, oh God, and we will praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, man. Look this way.